Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. This evening, if you have any comments that you would like to make during the broadcast, you're welcome to call in. And I'm going to give you our call-in number here. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat it one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. If you prefer to email me, that you're welcome to do that. If you feel funny about calling, I'm always happy to get your emails and relay them to our guests. You can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I just have a few announcements that I would like to make. First of all, this is a reminder that our September Healing Weekend is really shaping up for here in Philadelphia. We have some very dynamic, wonderful women who are going to be joining us from all over the world this time, not only from this country, but also from Canada, also hopefully from England and Australia. So it should be a really dynamic meeting. Some of the women who are in Houston are going to be joining us here in Philadelphia. And they're kind of experts at this already, so it'll be really great dynamics for that healing weekend. Also, if you're new to the East Coast or you haven't been up this way before, some of us will be taking that Monday to take a trip to New York to see New York City, because for many of you coming in from the West Coast or from Canada, this is an extra opportunity to spend a day in the Big Apple. So you have that opportunity also to extend your stay. So if you are interested in joining us, everything has been pretty well set up. Just write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be announcing that, you know, in the next few months until we're really overfilled. We want to take as many women as possible. Also, I wanted to mention to you that on Mondays at 9 o'clock United Kingdom time, we have our UK chat. This has been a really wonderful experience, even though it only started a couple of weeks ago, that we've already had women who have now found each other who didn't know existed, not only in England, but also in Ireland. So if you're in the England or Ireland area or anywhere in Europe, because I know that our regular chat times are really not good if you're in Europe, feel free to write to me and I'll send you directions on how to join our chat. Also, please don't forget about our Adult Children of Gay Fathers support group. That's every Wednesday night. If you have adult children who need the support, it's a wonderful opportunity for them to meet others who are struggling with the numerous issues that come about from these marriages. And also, my newest newsletter came out. So if you're not getting my newsletter or you're not on my monthly mailing list and you would like to receive it, please let me know. And I think that's about it for right now as far as announcements are. I did want to just mention to our listeners, because I know that so many of you are so fond of Wendy, who is our wordsmith for this group, with her Wendy's List, that really helped women to define the emotional impact of everything that they're feeling, that Wendy will be our guest next Sunday night for the holiday weekend. She really will be making our holiday. So make sure that you tune in next Sunday night, or at least get the podcast. Tonight, I'm really excited that we have a special guest with us, and his name is Mike Garut. Mike, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm really appreciative that you're willing to come on board with us tonight. And I know that many of our women, when they heard you were going to be here, were very excited because they want to listen to what you have to say. And just to give you a little background to our listeners, it was, I guess, around 4 or 5 months ago, I received an inquiry from a young woman telling me about Mike and his linked investigations as a private investigator, and she wanted to get some information from me on straight gay marriages because she said that Mike was really interested in reaching out and helping a wide variety of people. And I sent her some information, you know, for his blog, and I said, please feel free to use whatever you want. And I thought that was so great that there are people who really care enough about the situation to look into it more, because many of our women are looking for private investigators. And, you know, I know it's not for everybody, but it's for some who really need to have that peace of mind. So I thought I would impose on Mike and see if he would be willing to come on our show, and he was very willing to do so. So I really appreciate the fact that you're joining us, and you have a website, and, you know, I'll be giving it out throughout the evening, and it's very easy to find. You can go to linkedinvestigations.com, and there you'll be able to find Mike's information. And once again, we'll give out that website throughout the, you know, time here. But, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're located in Southern California, correct?
Yes, our offices are in Costa Mesa, California, which is right next to Newport Beach and Huntington Beach, and borders Irvine and Santa Ana on the inland side.
And even though that's where your office is, it doesn't mean that's what you're where you're limited to. Is that correct?
Oh, no. We go all over the United States, all over California. Obviously, our base of operations is Orange and L.A. metro areas, but I do a lot of traveling. I'll be out of town tomorrow and Tuesday on a case, so it's kind of on a case-by-case basis, whatever we need to do. If it's a good fit, we think we'll be able to help someone out and make it, you know, productive, then we're going to do it.
Now, very interestingly enough, Mike, and I think this won't surprise you since I've mentioned it to you, I think that we have the biggest network of investigators in the world for our straight wives. I think that we've all become excellent detectives over the years in trying to track down proof of our husband's, you know, infidelity and homosexuality. And for some of us, it's really become a full-time job. So we can really appreciate when a professional's on the phone to confer that this is not something that usually happens automatically, right? You have to really do a lot of work.
Well, you're right, but you hit it right on the head when you say women make great investigators. They do. They make fantastic investigators. They're generally very detail-oriented, and they can deal with situations and ferret out information through different sources and are great at researching on the Internet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm always surprised at the things that some of the clients tell me that they've done and they've learned on their own, and they just usually get to a point where they need a little bit more information that they're either not sure how to get it or they need somebody else to do it so they don't have that exposure. And that's where someone like ourselves come in. But, yeah, they're great, you know.
How did you get started in this business?
I kind of fell into it, actually. I think most private investigators come out of law enforcement from one area or another. Right out of high school, I was going to a local junior college and working different jobs, and got a job working for a developer out of Canada that had a project in Orange, California. And I ended up managing a building for them and dealing with tenants and tenant improvements and all these different services. And a couple of the tenants in our building were these newly retired, one was from our federal government, an ex-supervisory federal agent. And his partner, another private investigator, was from Scotland Yard. So you can imagine as an 18, 19-year-old kid, that was pretty intriguing to me. And mm-hmm. I got to know them, and they started giving me casework, and then I started doing more and more casework for them, and I ended up going full-time and then getting my own license. And I still do work for one of them. The other one passed away some time ago. But anyway, it never stops. It's just very interesting. It's very diverse. I like to help people, and usually people come to us when they've got nowhere else to turn. You know, if it's a legal situation where they can only get so much from the police, then they go to the private sector, and they ask for help, and if we can do it, then we're more than happy to. If it's the private sector and it's a civil case or some civil matter, domestic matter, you know, who else are you going to turn to? You know, law enforcement doesn't get involved in that. You've got to be careful who you do ask to make sure that they are experienced and they're moral and that they're not going to take your money and run. You know, there's a lot of different things you have to do, and so you're your choices are limited to a degree, but anyway, it was just a lot of very interesting, a lot of diversity for me.
Now, you brought up some really good points. If somebody was looking to hire a private investigator, how would she be able to determine if that person was really legit or going to do a good job? Is there any kind of things to look out for? You know, like with doctors and lawyers, we always look for recommendations, but we just don't know enough people to ask about, you know, private investigators. So what kind of questions should people be asking?
That's a great question. I write blog articles about that subject from time to time because, you know, there's a lot of good investigators out there, and there's a lot of people that like to think of themselves as being good investigators. Most states require licensing. So you can get the name and the business name of a private investigator and check their license with the state that they're in and see if they have any disciplinary actions on their license with the regulatory agencies. For the states
like
that don't
California,
do that.
In California, is there a regulatory agency there?
Yes, there is. It's through we're licensed to the Department of Consumer Affairs, the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services, and their website is bsis.ca.gov. And they license investigators and security guards and I think locksmiths and a couple of other professions. But there is, you know, you do have to be qualified. In California, you have to have 6,000 hours of experience. You have to pass a Department of Justice background check. You have to pass a state-issued test. You have to pay license fees and, you know, renewal fees every year, of course. You cannot be a felon. You can't have a serious criminal record. And all of this is the criteria that they have in the state of California. There are a lot of similar rules and regulations in other states. But you can also go online and see if there are reviews for that investigator and make sure that the reviews aren't part of the investigator's own website or the individual's own website. They're not a real investigator. Now, you can imagine a lot of private investigators get involved in bad situations and make a lot of the wrong people mad. So you might find bad reviews from people that weren't even clients or people that maybe had unrealistic expectations. We've been lucky enough now over the last 30 years to not have any bad reviews. But, you know, in this kind of business, most people are happy to know you, but not really happy to talk about knowing them.
And I think those are some good points because, for instance, when you do business, you know, with a regular business, for instance, they have the Better Business Bureau. So I always tell people go check their records, and they're not necessarily very accurate either. But at least if somebody's getting a bit, I've seen the Better Business Bureau. I have really very controversial feelings because I don't feel they're doing their job. But, you know, sometimes if something is really looking bad to start with, I mean, that's something to tell you, look deeper. I'm not saying it has to be the telltale sign, but, you know, I think you would want to look deeper. But I would think that people, now I could be wrong, but, you know, I'm so used to predatory kinds of companies doing things. I would think this would be an area where people are really vulnerable, and it would be easy to kind of mislead people if you weren't real scrupulous in this particular kind of business, now that I'm thinking about it.
You're right, and you do have to go. You can only do so much research, and you should definitely contact more than one investigator and
The licensing is a big thing. You know, somebody, that's the first thing you should look for then. See, I would not have known that. So, you know, if you are looking for a private investigator, if they don't have a license, that's really a bad risk, wouldn't you say so?
Well, it's also a big liability for you. I mean, if you yourself go out and do surveillance, you know, you're really pushing the line on being a stalker, whether you are or not, because how do you explain yourself if you get caught or someone calls the police and you're in that kind of situation? And it's not too far a stretch if you've got somebody out doing work for you that's not a licensed investigator, the same kind of things can happen. And if they don't have the experience and they do something wrong or they do something that you're liable for in the long run because you've hired them to do this, you know, you've got to give it some thought. And so, to someone who's been in the business a long time, who has the experience, who's licensed, these things are, you know, they're part of their everyday business life. So they don't make those kind of mistakes. They don't do things that are going to put you in jeopardy, and they do a good job for you. But you're right. You are, there is a level of trust there. And, you know, every site you go on is going to say they're the best, they're the most experienced. They can help you. Just, you know, give them the money and they'll take care of business. So you do have to be prudent and diligent and do your own homework and go with what you believe to be good. It's not that bad. It's, you know, you do a license search, make sure they're licensed and they don't have any disciplinary actions. You look for reviews online. You see if they have a physical address that they give, or if they answer their phone, if they return phone calls. You know, it's not too uncommon that you open the phone book or you go on the internet and you start calling private investigators. A lot of them won't even answer the phone, or their phones are disconnected. So,
and I'm sure that people run up against this all the time, and that's why I say when people are vulnerable, they're desperate a lot of times. And it's easy to set, you know, to really sell them a bill of goods. And that's why I think that our women have to be really especially careful. You know, if somebody's legitimate, that's what really counts. And that's why I'm so happy to find Mike, because he's definitely 1,000% legitimate. And if you're looking for help, this is definitely a place to go to. I see that on your site, well, you have a blog, and you have lots of good information, including, you know, of course, the blog with me, Is My Husband Gay? Signs of a Cheating Spouse. But, you know, I think that sometimes, Mike, maybe you can give a perspective to some of our women, because you are a private investigator, so naturally your perspective is going to be different than someone who's just living it every day. A lot of times the problem with our women is this, you know, they feel like they don't have proof. And, you know, proof means different things to different people. Like for some women, you know, I always tell them, first of all, trust your instincts, that if you're feeling something's wrong, there's a reason. And that women who have straight husbands don't automatically think they're gay for no reason at all. You know, it's an instinct thing to start with. And then I tell them, try to gather all your ducks in order. I tell them, you know, the things that we could do normally as far as checking receipts and, you know, patterns and time. You know, I think just the basic things that we would all expect people to do when they're checking what they can, and credit card, you know, receipts and banking patterns. But, you know, for some women, unless they're actually sitting in the room watching this affair happen, you know, they feel they don't have enough proof. And I tell them, you don't need to actually have to walk in and see it with your own eyes if you have enough extenuating circumstances. How do you feel about that?
Well, you're right. And if there's, I have to say to the people that need that level of proof, that you're in almost every case not going to get that level of proof. I have done thousands of marital surveillances and relationship surveillances, and I couldn't tell you all the things that we've seen and all the different scenarios. And you know, I like to listen to the clients and get as much information as I can about their particular situation before we get started and go get the evidence they need. But the proof that we are usually able to get people is through seeing their spouse, whether it's a man or a woman, cheating. And there's some difference, obviously, in the actual overt actions and the secrecy involved in affairs. But you see them meeting at places. You look for the interaction between them, any physical contact, upon the first greeting, how they greet each other, and when they part ways, how they part ways. Obviously, if somebody goes to a hotel and they check into a room and they go to the same room, it's not because they're good listeners and they're in there sitting on either end of the bed and just having a conversation. I've had several clients tell me that that's what they were told when they confronted their husband or their wife about what we've reported to them, and they still are conflicted as to whether that could be true or not. And
right,
so at
and that
some
does
point,
happen.
You have to be able to draw that line.
Right. We have a woman who's part of our support network, and that's exactly what happened. She did follow her, you know, husband. He was in a hotel. He was with a man. They were hugging when they came out. And, of course, he's in total denial, saying he was just somebody who needed some friendly advice. And, yes, they were in the same room, but, you know, there was nothing that happened. But it wasn't
but
one
was
isolated situation. Right, exactly.
Right.
If it's a pattern, that's what I tell women, if you see a continued pattern. You know, maybe once you can go out with a buddy, but why are you keeping that news from your wife anyway, unless there's a reason to keep it from her?
Right, and there's, by the time they've gone so far as the women that are with a man who's cheating, whether he's gay or straight and he's cheating, a lot of those signs would be the same. You know, the credit card bills and the unaccounted for time and all these things could be whether, you know, regardless of who he's with. But you're right. By the time they come to us, there's usually a history there already. It's not, I mean, how would they have even come to the thought that they need to have him followed? There's been a pattern leading up to this. So when you go so far as to be given the gift of evidence all that's so high of a level of proof as seeing what somebody saw, whether she saw that with her own eyes or somebody else reported it to her, in addition to, I can only imagine all the other things that have gone on, you know, it's possible that it was a legitimate meeting, but I highly doubt it. And if you, you know, not knowing her whole story, most people that are involved in these situations, there are so much negative, there are so many negative things that have already happened in the relationship that if you remove that from the relationship, they still shouldn't even be in that relationship.
And I agree 100%.
Just based on all the other things that happen.
Yes, and I do agree with that. Unfortunately, you know, I would say, you know, percentage of our women, they come from the religious kind of thinking of, you know, for better or worse,
mm-hmm.
return poor, till death
right.
do we part. And they feel that, you know, they took vows to God and they don't have proof. You know, I would say.
I understand that.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a survey that was done in England several years ago that I participated with. And they interviewed over 1,000 men. And when you added up all the stats of men who took place in this, and these were gay married men, there were over 60% of them who said they are just not never going to tell their wives the truth. And I thought that was a really sad statistic, that women have to always wonder what they did wrong because their husbands can't be honest with them because of fear of repercussions, or that
right.
it's going to hurt them, or the news is going to get out. So many women
afraid,
will never know.
They're afraid to violate the trust of the relationship. And get caught doing so, they feel like they're violating their own promise in the relationship if they check on the honesty and the trustworthiness of their husband. But, you know, a lot of these people won't, they just will never admit it. They won't admit to having an affair, or they won't admit to being gay, and because it's too painful or difficult for them.
Or they're cowards and they're afraid of what they're going to lose. You
right.
know, some of
there's,
them
you know, they're
afraid.
Arrogant. There's a lot of different reasons for it, you know. And,
uh-huh.
and generally in regular extramarital affairs, you know, you're dealing with guys that are control freaks. They're, you know, they're arrogant. They think they can do whatever they want. Fish.
Exactly.
And you know, the same, I kind of the same logic applies when you're dealing with gay in a relationship. To me, that's a horrible deception. They're married under false pretenses. They're continuing this. They're not going to be capable of giving to the level that they should because they're not wired that way. And
uh-huh.
so to deceive mate and to continue to go through the motions, and like you cited in the survey mentioned, that they themselves, a large percentage, said they won't even, that they'll never. And so how can they, I mean, that we have, these guys are very, their mood swings can be all over the board. They're unhappily married, but they're staying married. You know, if they're happy and they're living a lie and they're doing both different lifestyles, part of their wife is suffering for that because she doesn't have a real husband. And they should never blame themselves. I mean, we can't control what someone else is going to do. We can control what we do, though, and we can, if we're not happy in that situation, we can leave it. And,
exactly.
you know, it's better to be alone and happy than to be with someone and have, you know, a meal on the table. I mean, there's almost always a better answer.
Absolutely. And as I tell women, you know, you make a game plan, and it doesn't have to happen today, but you have to have a plan so you can move ahead. But that's the next question I want to ask you, Mike. You know, let's say that you have all this evidence. You live in California.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding, I spoke to an attorney who was there last week, and he told me it doesn't really matter because it's a no-fault state. Is that correct?
Well, when you say it doesn't matter, what do you mean?
About adultery. Like, in other words, let's say a woman would hire you. Would it count in court in her favor because she has proof? Or is
well,
it more
just
for
the basis,
peace of mind?
It would, just on the basis of adultery, it doesn't matter. Now, got other circumstances, like someone engaged in illegal or overtly unacceptable behavior that would be in an evaluation by a family psychologist that provides their the result of their findings to a law court's custody issues involved, those types of things can matter depending on the existing circumstances around that. Now, is California a no-fault state? Definitely. If you want a divorce, you got it. You come and file for divorce, and 6 months later, you're divorced. Now, there's still going to be property separation issues, and there's going to be things, and those are not generally affected by whether someone, you know, the reason for the divorce. But what generally comes along with these situations are people hiding assets, people
mm-hmm.
spending money, the community assets money on their relationship, hotels and dinners and gifts and all these things, and they're spending the money that is legally community. So there are reasons to find that information out and to pay attention to the bills and invoices and find out whether they've got a post office box that you're not aware of or any credit cards that you weren't aware of. Make sure that your name is still on the title of the house and that they didn't have somebody fraudulently notarize the documents and get you off title of the house. These things happen. We do background checks on people for these reasons, civil background checks. Check them out to see if they're registered sex offenders. See if they've got criminal records and what are those criminal records for. And the civil records that they have. And these are some things that you can do before you go too far in a relationship. I understand that I'm getting a little off course here.
No, you're not, because is this something that women can go through you to check and you do that service for them? Can they hire you
for
that service?
We do it all the time, and we do it all the time, and you'd be surprised at what you find. And I tell you what, it can deliver a lot of peace of mind when you find out that they've got a clean slate and there are no skeletons in the closet. Now, does that mean that someone's an angel? Of course not. You can still have a bad person that doesn't have any bad records. But if you do that search in the front end or at any point, you might find out information that will really benefit you in your decision-making process.
Because the reality for our women, and as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, before this show, you know, we're talking about 4 million women in this country. So it's not like a tiny little number. It's a lot.
Right.
And a lot of our women are very vulnerable after these relationships. And I always tell women, you know, they have to, it's like any other kind of recovery. We call it gay husband recovery, where you have to refine yourself. You have to know who you are before you go off to the next man. Because there is a prototype of woman that, you know, what I call predators look for. And I'm not saying that their gay husbands are necessarily predators, but they are vulnerable after these marriages to meeting men who are looking to prey on women who are vulnerable. And
you're right.
So
I know. You're right.
And they do sometimes make really poor choices because they look to jump into something just to feel wanted or loved. And it turns out that they're finding someone who's just looking to take advantage of them all over again. So would they be able to come to you, right, and have you checked out that person? Let's say that it would just be easier. They'd rather pay for this service just to have somebody check out a criminal record, a financial record, bankruptcy. You would be able to do that?
I can do that, and I can tell you that I'll be more than happy to just give time and not charge. We have free consultations with no obligation or expectation of being retained by clients. That may not be the best business decision, but I'm not really in this business just to make money. I like to help people. And, you know, after being down this road myself from a business perspective and a private investigator's perspective, I've learned a lot. And I'm happy to share that and give my two cents, if you will. I mean, I'm not an attorney, nor am I a doctor. But I can tell you I've helped a lot of people, and I've been able to kind of point them in the right direction and point out kind of the picture from an outside perspective from someone who knows what they're talking about also. You know, I'm not in their shoes, but I have worked with and for people in their shoes or similar situations. I couldn't tell you how many times. And so there are when you have these people that are vulnerable, they need to consider some of the things that happen in these relationships right off the bat. Do these people want to move in with them? Do they start asking them for money, loans? I mean, we hear this all the time, things that you would be kind of put off or a little bit surprised that someone would have the audacity to ask you for a loan or for some money. And they have a whole myriad of, stories to support their reason.
But it's the truth because, you know, we had a woman who was part of my support network who just married a wonderful man. You know, this is her really happily ever reafter story. But she was very vulnerable. She was a professional, beautiful woman, you know, got a divorce from her gay husband, kind of jumped too fast into the next relationship, and that is exactly what happened. You know, he came up with this whole scheme on a great business deal that she should invest in and how they could have a future together. You know, he knew that she was a professional and, you know, in the medical field and making good money. And she really was, you know, bought into this whole thing, and he took all her money. And she lost it
all the time. I know.
Exactly.
It happens all the time. If you take your time in these relationships, you know, people just really need to remember they need to, you know, take it slow. And you need to get to know someone. And, you know, there is a period of time. I wish I knew what that number was. Obviously, it's not a fixed number. But, you know, you get to know someone, and then the relationship changes a little bit, and you start to see a little bit more, and, you know, you have a couple of red flags that go off. And this doesn't happen all the time. But one of my biggest concerns for people is that they do go into relationships. They are vulnerable, and they do it too quickly. And there is no hurry. You know, there's a giant world of people out there, and there's a lot of happiness to be found. No one's going to be alone in the end if they don't choose to be. And they just need to work on themselves. And like you say, if they need any help through any kind, through friendships, relationships, the fantastic services that you provide, the tools they can use to help themselves, and they don't need to get involved in these serious relationships again because they feel that empty space. I mean, I know that's easier said than done, but if you think about it consciously, you know, and you can take your time, that would probably help in a tremendous way. If you see any red flags, you need to talk to somebody about those that you trust to see if those seem like they're something that you should truly be concerned about. They almost always are things that you should be concerned about. And maybe I'm a little bit cynical, but I'll give you my best input. And that doesn't cost anything, just a phone call. If you need to do a criminal check or a civil check, if you need to find out any details from someone's divorce, if they were abusive or what was going on, you know, those kind of records are public records. They can be pulled from the files at the courthouse. And people check on those things. I mean, these are the biggest decisions in our lives. This is the biggest decisions that we make in our life. And just because someone's done you wrong and it's so painful, you can be careful and, you know, you can take that chance again, but you've got to do it with both eyes open and take your time. There's no hurry.
And I think that's really the problem, that women jump and they don't look, or they think that they can change men. How do you feel about that, Mike? Because women think with enough love and enough guidance, these guys are going to change.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm 49, and I might have changed a little bit on my own since I was a teenager. but I don't think I could credit anybody for changing me. There's probably been a few people that have tried. I mean, I'm straight. That's not really what I'm talking about. But, no, I don't think that, you know, people can change each other. I think if people truly want to, they can work on it and they can change whatever it is. Now, your sexuality, I don't know that you can do that, but I'm not necessarily talking about that.
Right. No, I'm talking about personality traits.
There's a joke. I don't know. Yeah, there's a joke about that. A woman spends, several years in their married life trying to get her husband to change, and one day he changes, and then she divorces him, and she said, "Well, you're not the man I married." Get that? You know, she tries all these years to get him to change, finally changes, but now she doesn't really like what she's got, so she divorces because he's not
the
man.
That's cute.
But
it's a reality, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we usually put on our best face, and it's new, and relationships, when they're new, they're great, and there's all this energy, and it's a lot of fun, and, you know, that's that period when you find out how compatible you are and how much fun it is. And before you go further than that, you need to take some time and get back down to earth and go through the relationship and make sure you're really feeling confident about it. You know, if you really have great communication and you really feel confident and there's no concerns, no one can fault you later on if you're slapped in the face because this person was deceiving you. You know, you did the best you could, but if that's the case that you're faced with, that's your situation, then you probably don't want to spend too much more of your time trying to get additional evidence. If the wheels have come off the marriage, maybe it's best to go find someone else. And you don't have to do that the next day. You can get out of one and make sure you're feeling good and everything's good and take some time. You know, when you hear that these people get married to someone else 6 months later, you know, my head spins. I don't understand that.
And, you know, what's really difficult for our women is that their husbands are gay and they remarry again and again. These are men who I came up with the terminology, the straight gay men. And even though they're gay, they're never going to admit it to anybody, including themselves. You know, they'll think that they'll go to have this indiscriminate sex. It's just a sexual act. And if you want to divorce him, fine, because he's going to find another wife. And some of these men really have 2 and 3 marriages.
Right, and they're never going to be in short supply of other gay men.
But then they use you. They say to their new wives, "Well, how could I be gay? I had a wife. I have children. You know, she was crazy. That's why I left her. I'm not gay.
Right.
She was crazy."
Yeah, and that happens in straight marriages. You know, there's a lot of finger pointing and accusations that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you've got these situations with people that they are predatory. They don't really care what happens to the other people. They're just very self-centered and selfish, and they just want to do what makes them tick.
You know,
they don't really care what other people are thinking.
You know, I just wanted to mention that I have a book. It's called Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men. And it's a self-help book for women when they're starting out their new lives after their gay husbands, what to watch out for. And it talks about every kind of dysfunction that you can find in a man, everything from emotional to physical to sexual dysfunction. You know, and it was pretty discouraging when I wrote this book. But anyway, because 2/3 of all men, you can just write them off. But there are some good men out there. You just have to know what you're looking for. But these are some of the things that I write, you know, as far as what to look for as far as cheating is concerned. So tell me if you agree with this. Here's a list of some of the things I have. A sudden change in appearance through exercise, clothing, haircuts, and cologne, while having a decline in his attention for you. What do you think? That's a good one?
Definitely. That's a good one.
How about a change in his sexual activity, decrease or increase, or a change in sexual habits? That women assume that a sudden increase means things are better, but often a man feels guilty for cheating, or he might feel you're suspicious, and this will throw you off guard.
Well, I think both can be true. So I think that, you know, a lot of people are more sensitive to their surroundings and the behaviors in a relationship than others. And I think that if the relationship has some other issues, that we have a tendency to become hypersensitive to other issues in the relationship. So while this can be very useful, and like you say, you know, you go on your gut instinct in a lot of these things, it's not, you know, you pay attention to what you're telling yourself. And, you know, when something like someone's desire goes up and down, there could be other things that affect that. And, you know, they're taking something in there where their appearance, they're doing more or less or whatever that is. It could very well have to do with an interest, or even if they haven't crossed the line. And now I'm not talking about, once again, you have to remember where I come from. My position is not always about whether someone's gay or straight. I just look at kind of the whole picture,
right,
about
mm-hmm.
cheating and signs. So when you have, like, and we've already discussed the point, when there are other symptoms or other signs, yeah, they all, when you have an accumulation of these things, it's
right.
almost hard to say that there is not something serious going on. But if one or two of these things are going on, it could be anything. Some people have
right.
different
well, I was,
levels
right.
of
I
security.
I tell women, you know, maybe they have medication, you know, maybe, you know, stress out time at work. But in most relationships, for instance, if a guy is just stressed out from work and he can't have sex with you, he's not getting dressed up and wearing, you know, all kinds of new cologne and going out to the gym
right.
looking like that. So
exactly.
I also have your man starts to find fault with you even though you were doing nothing differently. Criticizing
mm-hmm.
you is a way for him to ease his guilt and make you take the blame for his unfaithfulness.
I agree entirely with that.
And constant checking on your schedule and what you're doing. Like, you know, they want to know when you're going to be home, what time are you getting home. All of a sudden they're checking your schedule, you know,
and
because
they also,
they're doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, that's right. And in addition to doing it because they need to know when their available windows of opportunity are and where you are at all times for that reason, they
exactly.
also have a tendency to get accusatory and jealous and suspicious of your behavior because they're projecting their own outward. So if they're involved in cheating, they might start accusing you of doing that when you're not.
Right, because I say that cheating men try to plan their extracurricular activities around times that you will not be around. And then also changes in his work habits, including working late or going out of town on trips too often. I think that's a definite telltale sign of all of a sudden his working habits change.
And not providing you with their travel details.
Exactly.
Right. A lot of people save that for the very last minute, and then it changes on trip. And sometimes, of course, once again, if there's nothing else wrong, and that happens every once in a while, that's not a big deal. But it's very common when you have
uh-huh.
people that are cheating that they do things like that to keep you off base. Also, if they have scheduled things that they do, you know, every Thursday night they go to a class, or they go play pool, or go bowling, or they go to the group that they say they belong to, well, it would be very easy for them to start planning their side trips during that time or before or just after that time, and you become conditioned to never even suspect that. And I hear that from clients all the time. They say, oh, well, I think something's going on, you know, after work on these days because he comes home a little bit late, but not Thursday nights because I know already he's got school that night. And so we don't need to worry about that. And come to find
mm-hmm.
out, that's the big night that the guy's really doing his thing. And, you know, he either's not going to school at all or whatever the activity was supposed to be, or he rarely goes to it and he's not missed. So when people have schedules that you get used to hearing about, sometimes that's a created scenario where they have other activities going on.
Well, that's a really good tip. How about suddenly buying you frequent gifts? I say that could be a guilt factor. You know, because sometimes if something looks too good, it usually is. All of a sudden, you know, he starts that habit of buying you things that he never did before.
I would be more concerned if I found receipts for gifts that I never received, or I saw gifts in the trunk. Well, that happens a lot. You'd be surprised. You see
no, I'm not surprised.
and you say, wow, you know, there's a bag in there from Tiffany's. Oh, my gosh. And then you never get that thing from Tiffany's. It's like, well, wait a minute. What was that
exactly.
all about? Or candy or flowers. And now, of course, somebody might, you know, guys aren't, we're not the smartest people in relationships. You know, the best we do. I mean, you get the rare guy that's everything. I don't think I know any. You know, when they're very thoughtful and they do everything right, and their wives are they want for nothing. Like I say, I don't know any of those guys. I know some that are really good, but they're not that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have a lot of married couple friends that we do things all together. You know, and they're great, happily married people. So, of course, somebody might buy you gifts or do things, and it may not be guilt-driven, and they might be trying to do right. Or they might realize they're, who knows what the motivation was, but it doesn't mean, of course, that it was, it came from a bad place.
No, but just,
but yes,
you know, like,
the
like
other...
I say, no one thing in and of itself, just a combination
exactly.
of factors.
It,
I said
that goes back
smell
to that.
Itself,
it always goes back to that.
I say you have to trust your smelling instincts. Because let's say a guy walks in and he smells like smoke or perfume, and you don't smoke and you don't wear that perfume, then,
right?
You know, he's obviously with somebody who is. You know, once again, not a one-time thing. He could be at a meeting where there was that. But if you see a pattern, or finding
right.
makeup stains or lipstick on his clothing, and you know, because I say some men who are cheating, well, this is when, you know, after their gay spouse, but if they're cheating with women, some women want to leave signs there for you to find.
Definitely,
so
and
that
happens
too.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a lot. They leave underwear. They leave hair. They do all these things. Women find condoms in their husbands' cars. They find them in their clothes. They find them in their luggage. And they're married, and they don't use condoms in their marriage. And so it could be they're fooling around with a man or a woman, of course. And they also have other things that they find that aren't appropriate for their relationship. And these things generally are, you know, explained away quickly. They're answered with a hostile response or a real defensive response, which to me is a gigantic red flag right there. So, you know, when you come across signs like that, you've really got to trust your instincts and say, all right, wait a minute. All right. Why does he have a condom in his wallet? You know, and you wouldn't believe the stories that you get back and answer. Well, just in case. I mean, what? Or they say it was their friend. Their friend used their car. And they, you know, they that wasn't from them. You know, those underwear, that wasn't because they were with someone in the car. You know, whatever. So, and you're right.
Well, when our women find that their husbands have condoms in their wallets, believe me, it's not because they're having sex with them. So they know that's a telltale
exactly.
sign because they're not having any sex. How about,
right.
you know, I think that with technology, you know, a lot of women blame technology for the downfalls of their marriage. And I say, look, you know, it's an easy access, but if your husband's gay, it has nothing to do with the fact there's computers. If he wouldn't be
right.
finding guys on Craigslist, you know, you'd be surprised how many women find their husbands on Craigslist, you know, pictures, pictures of their husbands.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I can imagine. You see these guys going to the adult store, bookstores all the time, and there's a line of them out the back door, and they're going in there for more than just looking at adult books. There's somebody doing acts at that place.
Yeah, we know about the glory holes, and we know about the rooms.
Well, they have all kinds of stuff. And they and they go. There's guys that advertise on all these, whether it's in the paper or it's on the Internet. I mean, if the Internet wasn't here, it would be, you know, in whatever forum they had to – to get to, even
right.
if it was down
exactly.
You know, just, so yeah, I don't blame that. And quite frankly, I think a lot of people blame the other people that are dating their spouse. They say that person is the reason that my spouse is doing this. Well, I disagree with that. But, you know, it takes two. And
right.
You know, if someone, you know, your spouse is involved in an extramarital affair, they're at least as culpable as the person they're doing it with. You can't consider that.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And a lot of people do that. They try to justify and still try to save a sick, broken relationship when they need to live their life and be happy and move on and get away from that situation. There's a lot of happiness out there.
You know, when I was married to my gay husband many years ago, Mike, I became, like, the best detective. And I say in this list, you know, go through his wallet and clothes daily. That's what I used to do, looking for receipts, matchbooks, phone numbers. Because eventually I think that men do get careless and they do leave clues behind. And I'm not sure whether they're consciously or subconsciously or not consciously doing it. But I think if you check on a regular basis, I know that I was able to find things. Also, I say check check ATM receipts for time and date. And this can also help determine if your, you know, man was out when he claimed to be working. Because if he's withdrawing from a bank branch, the locations are usually printed there. So this could help tell where he was at, you know, what time. Like he could tell you he's sitting at work and he could be 30 miles away with that ATM receipt. So you know that he's lying to you about that.
Right. You can catch a lot of lying through proving that they weren't where they said they were.
Uh-huh.
You know, they didn't do something they said they did. You know, you could just by proving a negative, if you will. Well, he said he was going to be here, and I went there, or we did a surveillance on him, and he wasn't there. We went to there, and we went to that location, and he wasn't there. Well, he's obviously lying about that. So what would be so important that he had to lie to you about where he was at, or where he was going to be, what he was going to do? That's not catching someone red-handed or in the act, but you've caught him in lies. And so there's not too many options left. Why are they lying? You know, why are they, what reason do they have to do that? I mean, cheating is cheating. And, you know, people lead secret lives. I know that on one of your shows previously you had discussed tracking devices and different devices. And some places that's illegal, some places it's not. Those can tell you some interesting information. They don't give you any specifics, but they can also help to disprove what someone has told you where they were at. You know, if you don't want to go so far as having an investigator and you're able to do that, or you know someone that can do that, and you're in an area where it's legal, those can be helpful, and you know they can be relatively inexpensive. We've had a lot of clients that have used those, and then they need to know some more details.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a start. You know, it doesn't have to be the end. And that's where a private investigator can come in, because if you go up to you and say, look, Mike, you know, I put a tracking device in. I know he's going here. I need somebody to follow him once he gets there. Then that's something you're able to do, right?
Right. You don't want to do that yourself because you don't want to get caught. And then next thing you know, you're the bad guy because you're following them and you've really crossed some imaginary line. You know, if you've been brought to that point, you've got a good reason to need answers. And so, you know, PIs are in the business of getting answers. And so, yeah, we do go to that place, and we do see what's going on and who they meet, and we identify that other person. We can take video of them. We do all these things. And then you get that information. I mean, that's very empowering. It's very empowering.
I think that people sometimes need this, Mike, because they need closure. And this is one, I mean, not everybody needs closure in the same way. But some people actually need to see it to believe it. And, you know,
other
people are fine
to have
dinner instincts. Right. Some people just can't have that closure until they have proof. So I think that's where it's great where you come in, that this is something that you can provide for people. And, you know, combined with, you know, trusting your instincts and then going to Mike and giving him the information, that this is definitely a route for some people to go through. Mike, I was just curious. You know, I've been watching TV a long time because I'm old. So I've been watching about private investigators since before you were born. And
don't think you're that old.
You'd be surprised. But, you know,
okay.
Really. But what I'm wondering is this, you know, having watched about PIs, you know, your whole life on television, it was romanticized and fantasized. Do private investigators work hand in hand with legal authorities or with the police or with courts? Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, sometimes it's, you know, we are part of the private sector. We do have cases. I mean, I work on all different types of cases. I work on missing persons cases and rape cases and murder cases and, you know, any kind of thing that you can imagine, you know, that would be possible. You know, we work on those situations. Of course, we work in concert with law enforcement. Sometimes we find ourselves on the other side working against people that are in law enforcement. You know, situations are all different. So I guess to answer your question, yeah, sometimes we do work with the court. Sometimes we're appointed to cases by the court through lists that we work, you know, court-appointed cases. We work for plaintiffs and defendants. You know, we do all that. We don't do a lot of that because that's not really our preference, but I have done that many, many times. And, you know, we work for government agencies that hire us to watch government employees. And I don't mean, when I say government, I don't mean, like, you know, federal government hires us to watch federal employees. I mean, like, local government. But we do that, yes.
So some of the women who are listening may not necessarily need a private investigator for their relationship, but they have businesses and they're business owners. So that's a whole other spectrum of services that you can provide for people.
I do very involved background checks. They show so much information. It's all cumulative information from very good sources. The information is updated daily. It's not old information, which is what's peddled on the internet and upsold. You know, we can get, if you know your business and you know what you're doing, you can get very good, useful information. And it's very important before you go into big business ventures to find out what the history is of these people that you're considering, whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship.
And I think that's really important. You know, I just want to mention again about your website, because what I love about your website, that even if you don't need a private investigator at this particular minute, you never know when you will need one. But if you go to Mike's website again, it's linkedinvestigations.com. And for those people who are receiving my newsletters, you have the information there. But also, I was going to ask Mike if it would be okay if he could be, if you would mind if I put you on my website as a resource, because I have a whole list of resources, and you would be my only
investigator.
But that way, thank you. But what I love about what you have on here, on Mike's website, when you go to LinkedIn Investigations, and he has our team and the facts and the areas we serve and how to get in contact, but also he has Visit Our Blog, and there's so many wonderful posts on here, you know, all about how to catch a cheater, signs of cheating, be wary of committing insurance fraud, you can get caught, all kinds of things, how to catch a cheater, my husband gay, well, that's, of course, my blog, signs of a cheating spouse, but you can read it again, you can never read it enough. Talk to your friend, the private investigator, tips on how to find someone. So there's all great blogs on here, and they're so interesting. And, you know, it's really important, I think, that you need to read this, because, once again, whether you're in a relationship now or about to embark in a new relationship, as many of our women are, I always tell you, you know, check out the guy. And, in fact, in Man Readers, my book, you know, Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, which, Mike, I think I'm going to send you a copy of that book, only because it has a really good list on how to check out men. And little things, you know, today with the Internet, you know, we have the advantage of being able to Google people, Facebook them, and it's really amazing what you can learn just through technology, you know, besides all the traditional ways of, you know, checking out men. And, of course, I guess men for women, but I always think that women are perfect in almost all cases. But another thing, Mike, is that there is another
you
group.
And me
I
both.
Just want to, thanks, Mike. Another group I wanted to recommend to you, and I'll hook you up with this afterwards, but there's a group called Love, Woman Donna Anderson, who runs an organization called Love Fraud. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's at lovefraud.com. I'll send you the link. And Donna works extensively throughout the country. She's a known expert on sociopaths and how to catch sociopaths. There's so many different things because they're so clever in their ways. But you may really be a great resource for her. So I'm going to also introduce you to Donna, because I think that a lot of her women could really utilize your services. So
and I'll
once
be interested
again,
to check in
yeah,
that,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if women, if people can't reach you in your areas where you go, you can make recommendations for other investigators if you're in an area where, that you don't cover?
I can, in some areas. I mean, if I don't know of someone, I generally won't refer them because I can't vouch for them. But I do know a lot of investigators, and I know a lot of investigators either personally or by reputation through people I work very closely with that vouch for them. Most of those people that I work with are retired federal law enforcement people that have been PIs for a long time, and they kind of have their group of people, but I have access to those people, and they're all over the U.S. If any of your listeners or clients don't want to call us, they can email and just get information. I'll be happy to email people information. You mentioned our website, and our email is just info@linked, linked investigations.com. So if they just want to email and they need some information, I'll be happy to respond to them. I'm good about, taking and returning phone calls, and it's just all in a day's work, and I'm happy to help people out. So they can do
that's
that. I
really
appreciate
wonderful.
You giving me these links to these other experts that you know. I'm going to
I think there's
going to
be some
stuff.
Really good synergies that come out of this. And I really do appreciate the work that you're doing, Mike, and I really would appreciate it in a few more months if you wouldn't mind coming back again and we can talk about some other tips and other things. And,
Thank you. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
For women. I think just listening to you and hearing you is so important for them, and that, you bring such a great insight to this. I think a lot of our women feel really lost, and this is a way to give them some hope. And also, once again, even if you don't live in Southern California, Mike does investigations outside of that. One last point I wanted to bring up before we go, Mike. Did you mention that you also do financial investigations?
Yes.
Okay, because that's a really important part for a lot of our women when their husbands are planning to leave and they're planning not to be honest about the finances. We've had a lot of women in that situation. So are your services like a forensic kind of accounting service?
Well, what we do is we have a basic asset search, which finds property and any title transfers and that kind of information, judgments, tax liens, notices of default, ownership of the property, address histories. I can do bank account searches and security searches statewide and nationally. So that's all, there are ways
maybe
to do that.
Maybe the focus of our next program, if you don't mind, for your nexus, maybe we can make that the focus of that show.
Sure.
Because this is such a big issue for our women.
Well, it's a knee-jerk reaction in these situations when things start getting ugly in a relationship and they start getting down to the wire. A lot of people start really plotting, and they pull the money out, they open up accounts they don't tell you about, or when they know that the time is near, when you're going to pull the trigger.
Uh-huh.
All the assets are gone, and you don't even have the money to retain an attorney. You can't do anything, and they control the situation in that regard. So what I stress to our clients, when they call us and we talk about these situations, And I explain to them the importance of not disclosing to your spouse what you're going to do in an angry conversation or otherwise. You do your homework and you use the resources of a good investigator, and then you go consult with an attorney. You do these things so you find where your position is and what's going on. And then if you get an attorney, they can give you a punch list of things that you need to get for them. And you get all this information, and then when the time comes for you to do, if you're going to divorce or something, you're prepared for that, and you can do some limited damage control. And there are other things, and different states have different laws, but generally a lot of family law attorneys would recommend that their client take half of the assets out of those community accounts so they don't look like the bad guy because they didn't take more than half, but they've at least safeguarded what they're going to be entitled to, and they've done something with that. You don't want to clean out the accounts and be the bad guy, but you also don't want to be the victim of that. So there's a lot of things you can do to protect yourself. You can find out the status of other properties that you may not have even known that you guys own.
Right, so that's why I say
so
on our next show, that would be great if you could talk about that. And
okay.
We'll make a list for women. Also, I just want to end by saying that when I give advice on this particular thing with the different things to look for, I say the most important key to catching somebody cheating is to act like you are completely oblivious to the fact that something's wrong. I tell women you have to do your, as hard as it is not to blab things out or cry or scream. You know, you have to get your ducks in order. You have to see an attorney. You have to see what rights you have. And if you tip him off too soon, he's going to do exactly what you're saying. You know, if he knows that
Correct.
You're planning to leave, he's going to be taking whatever he can, and you'll never even get it. So would you say
it
that's good advice?
People. Oh, definitely. It helps people to make, and I'm sorry to interrupt, it helps people make posture and know what they're going to do, and it gets their mind in a place where they know what they're faced with and what they need to do, and it can be very empowering, you know, and you're right. You don't show your hand. And if it's difficult for you to know an opportunity and you can't afford to throw a lot of money at a bunch of surveillance, for instance, you can create a window of opportunity. You can say, I'm going to go visit my sister or my mom, or I'm going to go out with my friends for a couple of days. I'm going to be out of town for a couple of days. And you give them enough heads-up notice so they have some planning time. And then that's the time you have them followed because their guard's going to be totally down. They know you're out of town, or they don't really know that you're staying at the hotel a block away, whatever the case really is. But
mm-hmm.
you can create a scenario where it makes it easier for you to catch them. If they're doing something that you're confident they're doing, and if, you know, there's a few other factors in there. But once you find this information, whether it's useful in a court of law where you're at, it's very useful for your state of mind. And I love it when clients get this information, and rather than feeling like a victim, they finally get, pardon my, I guess I can't say, they get really angry.
Uh-huh.
And they take a different stance, and then they get their game face on, and they
uh-huh.
move forward. And usually the guys are the ones that are then caught off base. And, you know, in this area, we know phenomenal attorneys that are really good people, and I'm sure we could help people find those. We never get a referral fee. I don't play that game. If an attorney does a good job and I get good reports back about how well the family law attorney represented their client, I'll continue to refer them casework. If I don't, I don't refer them any more business. It's as simple as that.
All right. Well, you sound like such a wonderful guy, Mike. Do you have a wife?
I do not. I'm single. I think my job has something to do with it.
We have a lot of women who are available. Who will probably be calling you because you just sound too great. So just be prepared.
I'm the guy that turns red easy. I get bashful,
sweet.
But
I really appreciate so much you being our guest, and I will be in touch with you. We'll set you up to be a link on the website and with some other groups. And once again, for anyone who needs more information, you can always write to me at bondk@aol.com, and Mike's information should be on our website by next week. So. Listen, everybody, I want
thank
to wish
you, very
you a wonderful
much,
week. Mike, thanks a million. If you don't mind, you'll come
you.
Back again in the summertime for us.
Not at
that
all.
That would be okay.
No, I appreciate your having me. That's very nice. That would be fun.
Thank you so much. And everybody, have a wonderful week. And we'll be back here next weekend for the holiday with Wendy. Have a wonderful night. Good night. And good night, Mike.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.